Good morning.
Pray with me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, here's a story for all you math majors out there. There was an old Arabian prince who had three rather intelligent but very ungrateful sons. And as the old man lay dying, he called his three sons in to be with him in order to discuss their inheritance. He told them, "You will inherit my herd of camels. The oldest son will receive one half, the middle son one third, and the youngest son will receive one ninth." Then when the old man passed away, the three sons met to divide the camel's herd. But there were 17 camels. There's no way to divide a herd of 17 camels, one half, one third, one ninth. The sons began to quarrel. They began to really fight with each other. It got worse and worse. It gradually infected the whole household and then the town, and then the sheikh's entire region. They lost their focus, their perspective. They're about ready to go to war with each other or call in the country's top attorney. But finally, one day, an older, wiser woman walked into town holding a rope attached to a single camel. "Here," she said quietly, "I will, if you'll just stop quarreling, I will give you my camel and I will divide your inheritance for you." And then you should have seen her as she went into action. Well, of course, she'd solved the problem. There were now 18 camels. The oldest son received 9 camels, which was one half of 18. The middle son received 6 camels, which was one third of 18. The youngest son received 2 camels, which was one ninth of 18. Everyone seemed pleased and content. And then the three sons counted their camels. When they added the 9 plus 6 plus 2, a total of 17 camels. Not 18. With just the hint of a smile on her face, the wise old woman picked up the rope from her camel and headed home. She had wisdom that had stopped a war. Yet she was very humble in dealing with these three arrogant sons. Well, the essence of true wisdom is in the humility of using it effectively in achieving positive results. And that's our subject of our text from the book of James this morning. Generally, wisdom can be defined in the ways that we use the knowledge that we have to solve the issues of daily living that confront us. In James' view, there is good wisdom and there is evil wisdom. Good wisdom is used to accomplish good things, and evil wisdom is used to accomplish evil things. But as James says, Good wisdom is a gift from God. Evil wisdom is a gift from the devil. Or, more likely, it is created from our own selfish and greedy nature. So, how do you recognize or appreciate good wisdom? Well, James provides some very good insight. James ties good wisdom with gentleness, peacefulness, mercy, and recognizes that the outcome of our efforts produces good fruit or positive results. Good wisdom is totally impartial and without hypocrisy. Good wisdom settles disagreements and arguments without malice, contempt, or anger. The woman who settled the issue with the camels between three warring brothers really gives us the ideal picture of good wisdom. She did not get involved with their dispute. She did not take sides, and she did not force her will upon them. Yet, she produced a positive result. And it netted her nothing in return, except maybe an inner feeling of contentment and accomplishment. Now that would be James' view of good wisdom. On the other hand, wisdom can be used for evil purposes. A number of years ago, I worked in a job where one of my responsibilities was to investigate fraud. And one of the frauds that I became aware of concerned a young man who was pretty smart. And at the time, he worked as a computer programmer for one of this country's largest banks in New York. And he made an assumption that the average person would not be able to compute how his monthly service charges were calculated, or determine exactly how the bank got to charging him the service charge on his bank statement. And he also made the assumption that large companies did not audit their service charges, or even if they did, as long as they came close in their calculations, they probably wouldn't worry about it. And it was a time back when service charges were computed on their average daily balances and the volume of each type of transaction that flowed through the account. Well, this creative programmer was responsible for the program that calculated the monthly service charge. So within his program, he added a little routine that added about 2% onto the service charge that was calculated for each account. And he wanted to keep the amount small enough so even when somebody tried to calculate the service charge, they'd come close enough so that they would not bother trying to figure out where the difference was. And the additional amount was transferred into his personal account so that everything balanced at the end of the day. Well, his program worked perfectly for months. And as the charges were credited to his account, he wrote a check, transferred them to an account in another bank, and even if he was discovered, it would take time for anyone to discover where the money had gone. Plenty of time for him to make his escape and take his money with him. Well, eventually, this scheme of his was discovered, but in a very odd way. the vice president of marketing for the bank, was thinking of some creative ways of using the service charges to attract new customers. So our curiosity decided to calculate the service charges on his own account, just for the fun of it. Well, the results he kept getting were always within a couple percentages of what was on the statement. Well, he got frustrated, and he decided that he would call up the programmer to find out what he was missing. And when he reached the programmer gave him the standard response that all programmers tend to give. The system was down. I don't have time to talk to you right now. I'm really busy. How about I meet you tomorrow? So he made an appointment with the vice president to meet him in his office the following morning. The last I heard, he was living in Buenos Aires with well over $1 million safely tucked away in a Cayman Island bank account. You see, this young fellow was smart. He had a lot of wisdom. He used it well, very creatively, actually. However, he used it for personal gain, driven by greed and self-centeredness. That is James' point. According to James, evil wisdom is driven by our cravings that are at war within us. You want something, it's okay to steal it. If you covet something you cannot have, you engage in disputes and conflicts until you get your own way. Sometimes, evil wisdom can even backfire on those that use it. I heard a story a while back about a bank robber who walked into a bank, pointed the gun at the teller, passed her a note, and she put the money in a bag, handed it to the bank robber, and he left. However, the trouble with this was he left the note on the teller counter. His note was written on the back of a deposit slip for his personal account in another bank. Sometimes, evil wisdom might not be recognized as the complete lack of any wisdom at all. Well, James makes the observation that good wisdom comes from God. It is a gift that God gives to us. And we all remember the story of King Solomon, who unselfishly asked God for good wisdom so that he could govern wisely and provide his people with fair and honest justice. We remember the story, too, about how two women argued who the rightful mother of the baby was. Solomon decided that the baby should be cut in half and each mother given half. The baby's real mother immediately relinquished her claim on the baby, while the other woman complimented Solomon on his wisdom and told him, go ahead. Well, it was at that moment that Solomon knew who the real mother was, the one who had given up her claim in the interest of protecting the baby's life. Solomon's wisdom, you see, was pure, peaceful, righteous, unselfish, and without anger. Because, you see, it was a gift from God. We need to remember that our wisdom, what little of it any one of us has, is also a gift from God. We have the freedom to choose to use it for our own personal gain, as the young programmer did, in cheating customers of the bank, or we can choose to use it to do good for others without taking any credit or payment for our efforts, as the woman with the camel did. Wisdom is the application of all of our knowledge in ways that produce meaningful results in our lives. We can use our knowledge for purely personal achievement and personal reward, or we can use it to make this church, this community, this country, this world a better place for everyone. Evil wisdom typically results in divisive and/or solutions. We either do it my way or your way. There's no middle ground. The only possible outcome in these situations is that one person must win and the other person must lose. And we expend tremendous energy in applying the maximum level of our knowledge and wisdom to make sure that we get our way when someone else loses. This is clearly not how God intended us to use the gift of wisdom that God so nicely gave us. Good wisdom, on the other hand, looks for the and-type solutions where everyone wins. In these situations, everyone who is a party to the issues is encouraged to cooperatively seek solutions that incorporate your needs and my needs equally. We work together to find peaceful solutions, a solution that benefits everyone who has a stake in the outcome of the situation. I really do pray that as a nation, we might find a way to solve gridlock in Washington, D.C. The selfish interests of way too many politicians has resulted in every single social, economic, and foreign policy debate becoming an either-or argument, where no one wins and only the people lose. It has hopelessly polarized and divided this nation, and nothing is being done to solve the real problems out there. It would be so much better if we could only elect wise politicians who would look for those and solutions that meet the needs of the country as a whole. Wisdom that comes from God is the wisdom of making peace. It is submissive, full of mercy and compassion. It is wisdom that is impartial and sincere. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.